You have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the Gospel of Mark in the first chapter. That's where we'll begin our study in just a moment. And it's so good to have this number out. Enjoy being able to worship together this morning as we've praised God in song and the Lord's Supper, and as we've gave of our means and prayed together. I'm so thankful we've had this opportunity, and you're to be commended for the way you've worshiped God this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're delighted to have you in our study. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility of preaching the truth of God. If you find that I've taught something wrong, or if we feel that we've practiced something wrong, if you'll bring it to our attention, we'll make the proper correction. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested, and if you've never been buried with Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready where you can be immersed into Christ and have every sin blotted out, as is taught in Acts 2:38 and other places. In the book of Mark, in the first chapter, if you will, begin reading with me at verse 40. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. You know, many times I wonder if I have the right view of God. And when I study the book of Mark in the first chapter, I understand that God is so holy that he cannot look upon evil or condone such acts. He is called holy from the book of Genesis all the way through the Revelation letter. And I think we often get the picture that God is so holy that no one can touch him or that he would touch anyone. However, though God is holy and though God is majestic, one of the things that I stand amazed at when I read my Bible is that when you look at the life of Jesus, we see that he is an approachable God. Though we may feel that God cannot be touched and he would not touch us, the truth of the matter is he is a God who touches the untouchable. You remember it was Jesus who said in John 14, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And when you see Jesus, you see he touched people. And when you look in the book of Mark in the first chapter, you see him touching somebody who was untouchable, an individual who was a leper. And there's no way that I'll be able to put into your mind what a terrible disease this was. If you go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Leviticus and the 13th chapter, you remember there were some laws in regard to the disease of leprosy. In Leviticus 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab, or a bright spot, and it becomes on the skin of his body like a leprous sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. And then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean." Then drop down to verse 44 of Leviticus chapter 13 and look. Notice that this is a leprous man. He's unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn, his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He's unapproachable. He had to dwell alone. If you had the disease of leprosy, you might find other lepers and have a leprous colony, but you could not dwell with your family. You couldn't live with your spouse or your children. You couldn't live in society lest you give that disease, which was contagious, to somebody else. And if someone approached you, you would have to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." This man would be living alone. And can you imagine the feeling in the heart of a person that no one can touch? Not even his family, not even his children. And look at that individual and to think the isolation. Don't touch that person. But if you take your Bible, notice that when the leper came to Jesus, he believed that Jesus could make him clean. But notice the leper doesn't touch him. Remember in the book of Matthew in the 9th chapter, the woman who had the infirmity with the issue of blood, that she reached out and she touched the hem of the garment of Jesus. But this man, due to his leprosy, does not touch Jesus, but he looks at the Lord and he says, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." He had the power and the belief that Jesus knew what he could do. He knew that Jesus would be able to remove the leprosy. Now keep in mind that Jesus is approachable. The leper knew this. He could not approach others, but he did approach Jesus. And he said, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." But then if you ever looked at your Bible and noticed that Jesus could have just spoken, "You're clean," but look at what Jesus did. In verse 41, Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, and touched him. I wonder when was the last time that man had been touched. When was the last time that somebody just reached out their hand and laid it on him? And here the Son of God, who had the power to just say, "Be healed," touched him. God touches the untouchable. And you think about that Jesus did that through his life. When you read the life of Jesus, you see where many were able to be cleansed. In John 4, he went to the Samaritan woman. And you remember he asked her for a drink of water. She was an outcast. She was one that a lot of people looked down upon. She was an individual that was looked upon by society as one that is untouchable because of her sin. And what does Jesus do? He offers her the gift of living water. And she goes back and she tells all the people that she knew about Jesus. The whole city comes out. Because Jesus was willing to touch the untouchable, it changed the lives of the people throughout Samaria. But then in your Bible, in the book of John in the 9th chapter, as we studied Wednesday night, he was approachable to the blind man. He was a man who could not see from birth. And you remember that Jesus spit on the ground and he mixed this saliva with the dirt and made mud and he applied it to the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he did. And that man was healed. He touched the man here in Mark 1 with this disease. Jesus is one who touched others. But notice that in the book of Mark, in the first chapter, when Jesus touched this man with leprosy, he did not get infected. Now remember, the man had leprosy. It's a contagious disease, but Jesus didn't come down with the disease. He knew his power, and he reached out and touched him. I want to take that. I want to make application in the lessons yours. There are many wonderful lessons I think we can get from the book of Mark in the first chapter, beginning at verse 40. First of all, there are a lot of people today that need to be touched. We have so many young people who need to have older people encourage them and uplift them. So often when we look at our young people, we browbeat them and we talk about how bad their generation is. And I'll tell you, my friend, we've got a lot of fine young people here at Eastside, and what they need to be is touched with love and compassion. Now, they may make mistakes. They may not always keep everything we want them to keep, but I'll tell you one thing, my beloved friend, when you see a young person trying to do right, you reach out and encourage that young man and young lady. So oftentimes all we do is complain about them, and so often we look down upon them. And yet, my friend, when young men and young ladies are trying to live right, they need the touch of compassion and mercy. I'm fearful that many times in our efforts, we do not see that they need somebody sometime to reach out and tell them how much we appreciate him. And young men and young ladies, I appreciate your faith in God. I appreciate you paying attention. I know sometimes sermons can be boring, but you listen because you understand the importance of listening to God's Word. The preacher may be boring. God's Word never is. Always remember the importance of God's Word. But secondly, there are many who are sick with spiritual diseases that need to be touched. You know, there are people out here living in Shelbyville, Tennessee that are addicted to drugs and alcohol and immoral lives. They're down and out, and many times no one will touch them. And yet, my friend, sometimes if we would look out and see that person and see their need for God, we might be able to bring them to the Lord. Sometimes I think about the man who had the disease of AIDS and people were just mistreating him. And he made a mistake. He did wrong, but he wanted to repent. And I'll tell you, my friend, someone needed to touch him with love. When somebody is coming back to God or somebody needs God, what we need to do is reach out and, like Jesus, have compassion for their soul and tell them how much we want them to go to heaven. We can't remove some of the things they've already done, but I'll tell you, they can start again. They can be born again. They can walk in a new life. But I'll tell you something else. Older people need touching. Sometimes we look at the aged and sometimes we don't see how much they need to be encouraged. And I'll tell you something, I look out and I see some who are up in years. They've served God for many years. They love God. They're dedicated to God. And I'll tell you, some of our young people need to look up at them and see them as a great example. Sometimes we look at a man who can throw a football and say, that's a hero. Or we look at someone who can put a ball through a little cylinder with nylon and say, he's our hero. I'll tell you who a hero is somebody who does the right thing even when it's difficult. A hero is somebody who stays dedicated to God and loves God. And young men and young ladies, look around and see individuals that are up in years who can teach you and encourage you and lead you in the right path. Sometimes we don't encourage our elderly. There are some in nursing homes who need a touch of love. I'm thankful for some here who are so dedicated to visiting. We've got some who are so good at doing that. And I'll tell you, my friend, sometimes what we need to do is just stop and think about others instead of self. But I'll tell you something else. Sometimes someone of a different color of skin needs touching. You know, my friend, everybody has a soul. And we need to be a people that never become prejudiced based upon skin color or upon anything. But what we do is we look out and we see that there's someone created in the image of God and we love them. But that brings up a second point. Am I approachable? The Pharisees lived such a life that no one would want to approach them. They were to be afraid of them. And we need to be aware of this. Look in your Bible in the book of Luke in the 20th chapter. And when Jesus was speaking in the book of Luke in the 20th chapter, notice with me what Jesus says in verse 46. Beware of the scribes. Look at that. Beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplace, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best seats at the feast. Jesus says, they can hinder your growth. I want to ask you a question. Are you approachable? That's a very serious question. Are you somebody that if someone is having a problem with sin, they could say, you know, I can trust this person to go to them. They're someone I can confide in. They're not going to go tell everybody else in the congregation. They're not going to spread it around. They're somebody I can trust. And I know that they're going to show compassion. They're not going to agree with my sin. They're not going to condone my sin. But they're not going to kick me while I'm down trying to make my life right. Are you approachable? You know, there's some preachers that aren't very approachable. I've been around some people, and all they want to do is keep kicking you when you're down. I'll tell you, what Jesus did was when one wanted to make his life right, he helped him up. He stretched out his hand. He touched the untouchable. And sometimes we act like we're so holy and so much better that we won't stretch out our hand and help a brother get up who's been in sin. I'll tell you something, my friend. The day we think we're too holy to stretch out our hand and help a brother up is the day our soul's in danger. Because our pride will lead us straight to hell. What did Jesus say? Beware of the scribes who act so much holier than thou. But I'll tell you something else. You can touch and not be affected. I think many times we leave the impression sin is contagious. Now, I know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:33, that evil companions corrupt good morals. And that's true. We don't stay around that and condone it. But we're not to isolate our spiritual life to just a church building. We have to go out and touch people. Jesus ate with the tax collectors and harlots, and he was condemned for it. But he had to come in contact with the untouchable to touch them to come to Jesus. If the only time we ever talk about Jesus is in this building, God pity us. We are to reach out and touch people. And we need to be thankful that God has touched our life. Have you ever thought about what it means to touch somebody who's looking for something, but they may not know what they're looking for, and we can show them Jesus Christ? We've talked about revival. Next Lord's Day morning, John Zellner will be here. John's going to preach the gospel in simplicity and truth. We can invite people. We can talk to people. We can let people know we're concerned about them. Because I'll tell you something. There are people today starving for the truth. Starving to be right with God. They don't know perhaps right now what they need. But if we're willing. And notice that's what the man said to Jesus. If you're willing, you can make me whole. You can make me clean. Jesus said, I'm willing. Are you willing to go out and invite people to come hear the gospel? You know, I don't like to be rejected and have people tell me no, but you know something? That's the worst they can do if we ask them to come. There was a young man who was afraid of rejection. He wouldn't ask a woman out on a date, so he finally went on the college campus and he just asked every girl he came in contact with if she'd go out with him. And he got so many no's. But he finally learned to take rejection and got a couple of yeses out of it. You know what we need to do? We need to be willing to spread the gospel to all the people we know. Because there will be a yes somewhere where they'll want to come to the Lord. And it won't be because of us. It'll be just because we planted or watered and God be glorified, gives the increase. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, God has touched you. He can take away your sin and blot it out, make you clean, make you whole. Though you're a leper spiritually,